This is Pat Prince, editor of Goldmine Magazine. Welcome back to the Goldmine Podcast. And today's guest will be, once again, Dave Thompson. Dave has been a writer for Goldmine for many years. And in the new issue, he does a fabulous job of wrapping up the Stones' year of 1967, which, because of the Red Lens bust, music historians know. 67 seemed like a bad year for the Stones, but when all is said and done with the recordings, you had great albums like Between the Buttons and Flowers released. And Dave will talk about Between the Buttons mostly. We'll touch on Flowers a little bit, but we'll talk about why that's an underrated album and should be looked at more. So we'll be right back after this message with Dave Thompson to talk about the Rolling Stones in 1967.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Well, Dave, you did a good job of you know, starting from the beginning. You didn't start this article in 1967, you started first in 66 with the taking. They're in the studio, the band, and Rolling Stones are recording, and Jared Mankiewicz takes them out to the park to take the photo for the album.
Yes.
Brian Jones seems in another world. And
also he looks.
I've interviewed Mankiewicz, yes. And he said he really was in another world. Such a shame, man. I mean, he brought in all types of instruments for Between the Buttons, too.
He did. I mean, he was versatile, but you know, in a way, he wasn't cut out for that kind of life. Yeah, he was one. If you actually look at some of the sadder stories from the, you know, the 60s, there was a lot of people who got into rock and roll, and they had, you know, they had asthma, they had this, that, and the other thing, which is that's not an obstacle to being a rock and roller, but it is an obstacle to, you know, being on the road in the back of a very small transit van full of cigarette and who knows what else smoke, drinking like a fish and staying up all night.
Yeah,
which was the lifestyle, whether they wanted it or not. I mean, even without being debauched, you know, bands were stuck in vans dry, or even, you know, by the time the Stones were making this album, you know, they were bigger, they probably had better transport, but you're still stuck in a, you know, in some sort of moving vehicle for X hours a day. You're still eating at the same greasy spoon cafe on the motorway at 4 a.m. on your way to the next show. Everybody is still smoking because, you know, as we used to say, so many cigarettes, so little time. So
sheer boredom too. No, I mean,
and sheer boredom. But if you have any kind of health complications, no matter how easily manageable they are in the real world,
right?
Yeah, you know, you're not necessarily going to remember to pack your inhaler when you're off to Skegness for 2 days at the local Locarno.
True, and I think that, you know, the incident of Brian drowning in his pool, if that didn't happen, he really abused his body with the drugs and alcohol and everything. Would that have done him in early unless he, you know, went to rehab? I mean, the rehab industry wasn't that big yet, was it?
I mean, it's impossible to say. I mean, a lot of people did put their bodies through more than they were built for.
Keith.
And lived to a very ripe old age.
Yeah.
And a lot were sort of relatively well-behaved and didn't.
Right.
So it's impossible to say. I mean, the whole thing about Brian's death, kind of, you know, all the conspiracies, all the, oh, it was this guy, it was that guy, he did it, yeah, it happened for the... It actually detracts from just the tragedy of, you know, a gifted, good-looking, young musician dying in what wasn't really the most rock and roll manner
he would
have chosen.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd have preferred a blaze of glory to, you know, floating in Winnie the Pooh's swimming pool.
Right. And it just, you know, it's such a shame because he started the band and I think he really wanted a blues band. And here they are really, you know, the evolution is going towards rock and roll, away from a bluesy band playing in the clubs, right?
Yeah.
I think is what Brian really wanted. I'm not sure Brian wanted fame, so to speak. I think he wanted
the trappings of fame.
Mm.
Or else he wouldn't have played along with it so well.
He really just wanted a blues band, didn't he?
He wanted a blues band. I think what went wrong, and this has got nothing to do with Between the Buttons, strangely,
right,
but what went wrong for Brian Jones was the fact that he couldn't write songs and his singer and his rhythm guitarist could.
Right.
That was what went wrong. And, you know, you talk to people who are in the Stones orbit at that time, and the majority of them will tell you that Brian's songs were not very good. I think it was Gene Pitney took him into the studio to record some stuff. And it was a disaster. I mean, even Gene Pitney was not happy at the end of the day. And I mean, come on, you upset Gene Pitney? Goodness.
Well, you know, he had Jagger and Richards that were really, they grew up on R&B and pop, right? They loved their blues, but they had that.
Well, so did Brian. I mean, so did everybody of that generation.
Yeah, but he seemed more wrapped up in the blues.
He did, but I mean, Brian was a musician, not a writer. I mean, there's a lot of great guitarists, bass players, drummers out there who are brilliant at what they do. But would you really trust them to write your next album?
Right.
Yeah, right. They may be able to sort of drag a couple of songs screaming into life. But, you know, Ginger Baker's solo writing credits with Cream don't go far.
Well, January, you know, 1967 started off right for the Stones. You had January 20th with the release of Between the Buttons, underrated album, but critics adore this album, and I'll include you on that. Probably because it has a sort of eclectic mix, right, of songs.
Yes. I
mean, you have, and this wasn't included on the US version, but you have Please Go Home, which is like a great garage psychedelic rocker. And then you have the, you know, Backstreet Girl, which is, you know, kind of playfully folky, you know. So you have those differences. It's very eclectic. The UK version, like you said, didn't have any hits. And they were more prone to do that, where the US version had two hits on there, right?
Three, if you can. Tuesday. Ruby Tuesday, Let's Spend the Night Together, and Have You Seen Your Mother.
Right. So here you go with January starting off right, and then you have the Redlands drug bust in February, which really, you know, that takes the steam out of everything. And
great publicity.
Great publicity, but as you put it, and I'm not familiar with this tabloid, but News of the World.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, I mean, it was a setup, it was a sting, it was, you know, however you want to look at it, you know, the media loves to have an enemy, and they couldn't hate the Beatles because they were so cute and cuddly. So they hated the Stones because they were dirty and they peed on garage walls and you wouldn't let your daughter marry one. And the Stones fought back. So, yeah, the media went for the jugular.
Yeah, and they also, you heard the story about the Acid King, right?
Mm-hmm.
This drug dealer that didn't get through customs, and they were hanging a plea deal over his head, or prison time if he didn't take a plea deal.
Yeah.
And he actually became the informant that sort of narked on the Stones and led to this drug bust. His name was David Snyderman. He changed his name to David Jove. Weirdly enough, in the 80s, he became a music program director.
Did he really?
For this thing called New Wave Theater. It was hosted by Peter Ivers. And they had a lot of, they called it New Wave, but it had a lot of punk bands from California on there. And it was on the variety show, part of it, Night Flight, which was a popular music show. And since he changed his name to David Jove, no one really made the connection till later. I heard Marianne Faithfull made the connection and warned everybody he was the same guy. But it's crazy how this guy was a narc and then went on to go into the music business again using a different name.
It probably happens more times than we realize.
Right.
I mean, yeah, music business is not exactly a hotbed of, you know, nice, non-dodgy people, is it?
Hey, what about us?
Well,
we're music, okay.
Yeah, but we're sort of more on the music side than the business side, yeah. Or at least I am.
Ouch. Okay, you so
sitting in your editorial ivory tower throwing typewriters at passers-by.
Well, you still have a typewriter, huh? That's good.
Of course.
Yeah. But so he was doing his New Wave Theater thing. It just seemed later, Keith mentions it in his book, Life. But it's just strange how life works. Intended. But getting back to the album, now you talk about this song called has a sort of mythical purport, English Summer. It's yes. Like you talked about. Was there ever a song called English Summer? And didn't maybe it was just a take that turned into Dandelion, right?
Possibly. I don't think anybody has ever heard it, and you know, because it's, you know, bound up in the whole ABCO deal with the Stones, all of their outtakes are, you know, buried deeper than Area 51. So you know, we may hear it in our lifetimes. We probably shouldn't hold our breath to do
maybe
so.
Maybe it's not as good as Dandelion. Maybe.
Oh, I mean, isn't that always the case, though? You know, it's the Beatles fans who would sell their grannies to hear Carnival of Light. And you know, when they do, the majority of them, that wasn't worth waiting for.
Right. Yeah, maybe Dandelion.
As granny sits on the shelf in the charity shop waiting for somebody to buy her.
Right, it could have kept, you know, the song could have come out and just been a dog and Dandelion wouldn't have happened. And Dandelion is a great song.
I don't know if it would have been Dandelion. I mean, English Summer, I mean, it's such an evocative title for the time because, you know, we were coming into the summer of love.
Yes, true.
You know, it's like, it was just a great time. The song doesn't, it's like Carnival of Light in a way. The song doesn't need to exist. The idea behind the song title is enough to get, you know, render it a legend.
But isn't it amazing that in June they put out Flowers in the US?
Well, they didn't, did they? I mean, that's giving.
Right. But okay, Flowers was put out.
You know, London Records wanted to do two Stones albums a year, so they would gather up all the stuff that had not been on past albums. stick on a few unreleased tracks and call it good. Flowers was just a, you know, it was the rest of Between the Buttons plus, you know, a couple of good songs or American hits from Aftermath, and, you know, three outtakes.
But it did have Backstreet Girl and Please Go Home on it.
Yeah, right? And it was the best of Beggars, the hits off Aftermath, and just whatever they wanted to throw on there. And it was no more or less a compilation than, you know, Made in the Shade or Sucking in the 70s.
A difference in album covers. I mean, again, Mankiewicz is beautiful. I think Mankiewicz is one of the great photographers. He took a lot of Hendrix.
Yeah.
This was an amazing shot. This whole photo shoot was great because he even admitted he smeared a little bit of Vaseline on the lens because
Are we back to Between the Buttons?
Yeah,
I thought we were talking about Flowers.
Oh, sorry. No, and I'm talking about the difference in album covers. And then you have Flowers, which looks like it was cut and paste, sort of.
Yeah, because it wasn't something that the Stones delivered. The Stones did their own artwork for their own albums.
And they always
hired Andrew Oldham hired the photographer. You know, they worked together. Flowers was the American label bringing out, you know, the contracted next album in 1967. And it's going to be another Radical Collections, boys. Oh, great. Do what you want. The strange thing about Flowers is it was a really good album. Whether you had Beggars, Banquet, and Aftermath or not, it was a great album. It had some terrific songs. Sitting on a Fence, you know, I think I said before, it's one of my all-time favorite Stone songs. You know, Ride On Baby, there'd only ever been a fairly not so great version by Chris Farlow. This was the Stones doing it properly. And their version of My Girl, which most people I know who love the Stones kind of don't like that very much. I think it's wonderful.
Mm.
And yeah, it set the stage for Just My Imagination on Some Girls. It was the Stones doing a great Motown, 60s soul song really well.
Mm. I always skip over it.
Yeah, a lot of people do. But Flowers holds together, is a cohesive album despite its origins. And it was funny that when I was getting into really buying every Stones album I could find, I was like 14 or 15, I guess.
Are you still in that mode? You're
not anymore. I've got them all. I don't.
Well, you like collecting the latest live albums that come out. I
know. Yes, but yeah, the studios. You know, another reissue of something. Nah.
Are you gonna get the new album when it comes out? Come on, they're in the studio, man.
Oh, of course I will.
Okay.
Flowers was the album that I could never find because it was never released in Britain.
Mm.
I actually found Got Live If You Want It, which also wasn't released in Britain, but I found that first, which was a little disappointing.
You telling me that you couldn't buy it as an import?
There weren't really that many shops selling ancient imports. Yeah, don't forget, we're talking 7-8 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah, a scrappy old Stones American Live album. Yeah, I could probably have found it new in, you know, that shop that did Japanese imports under Hammersmith Flyaway, but it would have cost me, you know, 3 months pocket money.
And guess what? You could have picked up Goldmine and did it mail order.
We're talking before Goldmine existed, Sunshine. It's old, but it's not that old. Yeah, we're talking like 73, maybe 74, so Goldmine did start that year.
Goldmine's just launched.
We're talking 73. There was no Record Collector. There was no Goldmine. I knew of one shop that catered to record collectors in London at that time, and they concentrated on singles.
Or 78s.
No, they
catered to
45s.
They weren't dealing with the shellac.
No. God, I can't remember what it was called now, but it was a great shop on Caledonian Road. I spent hours in there, and I picked up the Stones singles on it, the American Stones singles. But albums are tricky. And then one day I found a copy of Flowers in secondhand shop in London, and I was like so happy but so amazed that the Holy Grail. And I got it home and I played it. It's like I actually like this as much as I like Between the Buttons.
Well, let's shift back to Between the Buttons. Okay,
Oh,
so
let's talk
I
about
remember
Flowers.
when I
Pretty
spoke to
good.
Mankiewicz, he said there was a lot of tension with the management. And you kind of explain that, where there's this division, and finally they break from their management, the Stones. And
Andrew Gordon.
that was really while in the studio for Between the Buttons, right?
No,
No?
it's in the studio for Satanic Majesties.
Okay. But
Andrew Gordon.
it started kind of
There
between
was
the
a
buttons.
bit, but I mean, the problem was Andrew Oldham ran a very tight ship in the studio. The only
Yeah.
people who needed to be in the studio were the people who were either going to play an instrument or twiddle a dial or bring the coffee. Whereas the Stones were social animals, and they wanted their friends to come in, and they wanted their dealers to come in, and their dentist,
The
and
girlfriends.
their girlfriends, and the guy selling papers on the corner. They wanted to have people in there. They wanted sort of a party atmosphere. And Andrew was like, no.
The Beatles kind of had that. I don't know why George Martin wasn't more of a stickler. They had.
Did they? I mean, how many people were in the studio when they recorded Yellow Submarine?
Maybe, but they had their cases where they. Remember, they brought in a bunch of people to sing backing vocals.
Well, yeah, but that's different. Those people have a job.
Yeah.
You bring in 10 friends and they're singing backing vocals. That's different to, so are these the backing vocalists? No, that's my dealer, that's my dentist, that's my doctor, that's the guy walking my dog. Did you know
Was it really that crazy in the Stones
Keith
studio?
Richard used to have a dog named Rat Bag? I always admired that.
Rat bag.
Or so he told one of the teen papers when the Stones were first breaking through. Those things you had to fill in, like, favorite color, favorite socks, do you have a girlfriend? Do you have a pet? And Keith was like, yes, I have a dog named Rat Bag.
That would be a good question. Keith, do you remember? Do you have a photo of Rat Bag?
Yes. Yeah, if I ever interviewed Keith Richard, that would be my first question. In fact, I'd tell the publicist, have him bring a picture of Rat Bag to the interview. We've
What's your favorite version, the UK or the US version?
Oh,
Finally,
UK, because it's the whole album.
right.
The US version I look at as a confirmation of just how brilliant the Stones were during that period, the aftermath between the Buttons and the singles in and around those two albums. There was nobody to touch them, not even that bunch from Liverpool. Those two albums, I think, were the apex of a British beat as it turned into psychedelia.
Obviously, listeners, Dave sides with the Stones in that debate. Who was better, the Stones or the
Yeah, but the Stones
Beatles?
never came up with a song as good as Got to Get You Into My Life. So, it is.
Didn't have the horns.
No. I mean, if the Stones could have written Got to Get You Into My Life, the world would have been a very different place.
Were never that jolly.
I would have stopped liking them for a start.
I could never seen this. I couldn't see the Stones doing a song like that, but you never know. Anyway, what's your favorite song then off of the UK version?
Probably the same as my favorite song on the American one. It's like Backstreet Girl, I really love because it's just so lyrically wrong. That
Yes.
every year you play that, ooh.
The weird thing about it's kind of like a sort
It's
of,
sweet.
yeah, it's a joyful type of
Yeah.
yeah,
I know, I think
playful.
my actual serious favorite on that album is The one that's going to make everybody groan is Something Happened to Me Yesterday.
Why would
Because
that
you
make
want to say that the Stones could never have done anything as jolly as Got to Get You Into My Life. That comes close. It's
Okay.
absolutely daft, pointless. They must have been bored at the end of the session and you need one more song. Okay, let's do this.
Let's ditch English Summer and do this.
Yeah. It's a terrific song, and coming at the end of the album, it's just like, wow,
Yeah.
you really have finished the record, haven't you? And I think that's my favorite song.
You didn't like you didn't like Please Go Home, the
No, I did. I like everything on there. It's just that that's my favorite.
Okay. I
I'm
just love
allowed
that
to
song because it had that, man, it just distorted garage rock.
I think, up there in your ivory tower, you forget that us proletariat, we're allowed to like more than one song on an LP.
Well, Abco is going to be, I think they might be releasing a reissue of Between the Buttons, but right now
Mono or stereo?
they're doing Flowers
Mono
and
or stereo?
what's that?
Mono or stereo?
That's a good question.
Mono's best.
If you say so.
Mono Flowers is best. The stereo, I think the stereo Between the Buttons
Mono
shattered.
for that time was best, man.
The stereo Between the Buttons is pretty adventurous and kind
I've always had
of.
the mono version.
You should have both.
I should, huh? I'm not a completist as much as you.
That's not completist, that's just having the
Yeah.
record.
Okay. You've won me
Completist is
over.
if you have the Venezuelan pressing and the Portuguese one with the misprint on the label and things like that. I just made that one up. Please don't go looking for it, anybody.
So they're also they're coming out with Flowers and Metamorphosis.
Good.
We'll talk about Metamorphosis in another podcast.
One of the great overlooked, unjustly disliked, unsung classics in the Stones catalog.
It's kind of like
Jivin Sister Fanny, come on.
An afterthought with many Stones fans, isn't it? If they even know, even some of them might not even know about it.
It had such a cover, such an amazing cover. I don't know how they missed it. And here's your favorite pop group dressed up as insects.
Well,
Even the Beatles didn't do that.
one thing before we wrap up this love fest about Between the Buttons. Isn't there another myth going on that Marianne Faithfull took English Summer and she was going to record it, and but you interviewed her and she said she blacked out, didn't know what you were talking about, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the stories. She did not recall it that on the day I talked to her. But again, we don't need the song to exist. It's just that title at that time was so perfect. And you can almost imagine what it would have sounded like, particularly if they gave it to Marianne. Because, so we know it wasn't going to be, street fighting man with a, with a suntan. It was going to be a nice, semi-whimsical, probably had a some harpsichord or something on it. And it would have been a lovely classic mid-60s Stones ballady rocker. And they're now going to call up and say he's lying and play you proto heavy metal with Jagger just screaming, English summer, it's a bummer.
That's just it. It was
Over
punk before punk.
That's what it really was. It can be revealed.
Jagger sounding like John Lydon.
English summer invented sludge metal.
Stoner rock.
Oh no, sludge metal makes stoner rock look like the Ramones.
Well, anyway, let's hope Abco does put out Between the Buttons. They're
Yes.
claiming they're doing more than Flowers and Metamorphosis, so we'll see what they do.
Well,
But without the Stones' knowledge.
They should, because I don't know, they haven't, they've actually been very responsible custodians in a way.
They have.
I know contractually they couldn't go as mad as, say, you know, the Elvis catalog or the Bowie catalog.
I give them high marks
for, yeah,
what you're talking about there.
And when they've done those deluxe editions, like the one they did for Let It Bleed, it was a nice little package.
Yes, it was. With a 45?
Did that one have a 45? I don't remember.
It was either that or Beggar's Banquet. Maybe.
Yeah, one of them did. But, you know, the mono, the stereo, the nice, just nice packaging.
Hmm.
So I hope they do something like that between the buttons.
Yeah.
When you think about it, that's the title they should have used for Sticky Fingers.
Maybe they'll release the UK. Well, they can't, right? They can't release the UK version.
Oh, yeah, they can.
They can? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that would be nice to release the UK version and then have a 7-inch that has the two singles, or maybe several 7-inch records that have the singles.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities for that album.
Yeah.
Oh, there is for all the Stones albums prior to Satanic Majesties. Because, yeah, there's such differences between the British and American records.
I mean, this is your favorite decade for the Stones, right? The 60s?
Oh, I don't know, actually.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I mean, you think of the 70s, Goat's Head Soup, Black and Blue and Emotional Rescue. I mean, those are my three favorite Stones albums.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the 90s? Or God forbid, the 80s?
Well, they only did two albums in the 80s. Well, three.
And what albums they were, right?
Well, I know Undercover, I have a song.
You can't count Tattoo You as, it's more like Metamorphosis, isn't it?
Yeah, Tattoo You was just Metamorphosis. If the Stones had paid attention and, you know, gone and polished up the songs and brought in a decent producer to give it an overall sound.
Because I like that album as much as you like Metamorphosis.
Yeah, you don't like Metamorphosis. I mean, it's like,
I do. So, but I'm just saying, as much as you like it, I like Tattoo You.
Yeah. And well, if Metamorphosis had, you know, a cleaned up Start Me Up on it, everybody would have said, oh, this is the best Stones album ever. Probably not in that accent. I don't know.
I know you'd like the reggae version.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, if people reading your stuff know you love reggae, so of course you would. So.
Is it that obvious?
You're a little biased.
I'm actually doing next weekend. Next weekend, if anybody listening is in Newark, Delaware, go to International Groove Records, just off Main Street, between 12 and 2 on Sunday, and I will be doing a reggae lovers rock DJ set.
Wow, what a plug.
Yes, wasn't it? Sorry about that.
Well, that's a good way to end this. So readers, listeners, you know, pick up the new issue of Goldmine Magazine. It's the April, May edition, and it will have Dave's story, The Stones in 1967.
It will.
Yeah.
And there will be further pieces on Between the Buttons and Metamorphosis on the website later in the year.
Yeah. You forgot Flowers.
And Flowers. That's what I meant. Flowers. Yeah. You're confusing me.
Yeah, I often
it's do. Early.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And listeners,
thank you for inviting me on.
Thank you for coming on. don't forget to go to goldminemag.com for exclusive content. Dave just told you about some things coming up in around June. But now there's still stuff coming on every day. So, and pick up the newest magazine, like I just told you. The newest one will be out by March, and you could go to Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, pick that up. Record stores, record shows. You might find it on a newsstand.
The cover of the new one?
On the cover or three bands? You know, we have several covers now. The Monkees, Uriah Heep, and Kansas. Uriah Heep and Kansas are both celebrating their 50th anniversaries. Uriah Heep had to put it on hold because of the pandemic. And Monkees, Mickey Dolenz is going on his what might be his last tour to celebrate Headquarters, because that's being put out by Rhino, as I know it's been put out before and reissued, but they've dug up more stuff.
Yeah, they've got the original Don Kirshner tapes, haven't
Yeah.
they? Which have never been out before.
So
Kind of
look forward to
curious.
that. And then we have collector's editions. I won't give away that stuff, but it has extras that are rare. So go to shop.goldminemag.com. You could buy the issue, the collector's edition, and get vinyl box sets, a bunch of stuff. So Dave, thanks, and we'll talk
Thank
to you
you.
next time.
Next time. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.